I want you to take your Bible, please, and I want you to turn to John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Now, children, young people, I want you to sit still. I want you to pay attention. I don't want you to play and talk. I want you to listen very carefully. John chapter 15. Tonight, we'll have lesson number 21 in our series on relationships. John chapter 15, I want you to find verse number 12. Would you stand with me, please? John chapter 15, verse number 12, the Bible says this. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, I want us to turn to another passage of Scripture while you're standing there. Now turn to Romans chapter 8. I want you to find verse number 38. Romans chapter 8, verse number 38. Romans 8, verse 38, and the Bible says this, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Tonight, I want to teach a lesson that's called Love, the Glue that Holds Relationships Together. Love, the glue that holds relationships together. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. This lesson tonight, Father, is a part of the foundation of Christianity. Help us that we would take it seriously. Tonight, Father, you could fix a relationship, you could better a relationship, you could salvage a relationship, you could mature our relationships. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful example. Holy Spirit of God, control our minds, strengthen my voice. Lord, I would just like to get through the sermon tonight and do the Word of God justice. That's all. Help my voice not to hinder thy Spirit in any way, nor the teaching of thy word, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Paul here makes a statement, and he begins to talk about the love of God. I want you to remember something. In John chapter 15, verse number 12, God told us, he said, "I want you to love people the way I love people." Then, in Romans 8, verse 38 and 39, it's described as to how God loves people. Now, we know this. You've heard this, and I'll say it again tonight. God is love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us, God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God loves you. God loves me. God loves people that you and I sometimes don't or won't. God loves the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." Now, there's something that you got to understand. God hates sin. But God loves the sinner. And that's one of the reasons why sometimes I think God loves people that we don't. Sometimes we attach our hatred for sin to the individual. God said, "I hate sin, but I love people." Anyone you love, God loves them more. Anyone you love in a big way, God loves them in a bigger way. God's love and the love of this world, those two things are not the same. Remember that verse, John 15:12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." I've got a hunch that if we will obey that, if we will love the way God loves, which is his commandment to us, it could produce the same results or the same effect that the love of God produces. You say, what is that? Listen to this. Listen to how God loves. He said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here he said, my love is so powerful, there's no separation between us. I happen to believe that if you and I will love right, it's like the glue that holds our relationships together. God said, I love you through all of these different situations. I'm not going to let anything stop me from loving you, and there's not going to be a separation between you and I. God's love for us is both a promise and it's a commitment, and it's based on God's character. God knows of man's insecurities, so he assures us that his love is lasting. Now, again, if you and I will love the way God loves, then it should produce the results that it produces to some degree for God, which is what? He said this. He said, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You and I were to hate sin, we're to love people, just like God does. And if we'll do it God's way, I don't think our relationships will be separated. I don't think our relationships will be weakened. I think they'll be strengthened. I'm going to talk to you about that very thing for just a little while tonight. We're going to use an obvious outline. We're going to use all night long. I'm going to talk to you about Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and verse 39. For instance, death cannot separate us from the love of God. Death. The teaching here is that when someone dies, we're separated from them. Death separates human beings. But God is insisting that his great love and the love that he uses, that death cannot even separate you from that love. If someone who loves us dies, we don't get their love from that point on. But here's the good thing about God. God never dies. God never dies, therefore his love never stops. Now, what I can learn from that, though, is this. We are to love like God loves. Now, none of us will do anything exactly like God. But we are to love to the best of our ability like God. And he said, I will not let death stop me from loving you. Let me give you a little recommendation, folks. At the time of death, when death comes to your family or to a friendship, can I recommend you just keep loving people? You say, well, you ought to. Oh, I could not tell you how people begin to behave when you go to planning funerals, when you go to settling wills. When you go to settling who's going to get mom's wedding ring because mom has passed away. God said, I'm not going to let death stop me from loving you. In our relationships, if we could learn to love the way God loves, we would not have as much separation in our relationships as we do. And learning how to handle death right is an important thing. Learning how to behave around death, not letting death stop us. Keep loving people. And I'll just tell you something, folks. If you really want to pull some relationships in tight to you, when there's a death in your family or there's a death in a friendship, you get around people and start loving on them because they need somebody to love them at that point. And especially do they need Christians to be showing the love of God at the time of death. Now, we can't love like God. God never dies, therefore, he loves you and I all the way through. I love my grandfather, but he passed away. He loved me. I can't receive love from him anymore. Death stopped that. But I also love my heavenly Father, and he loves me, and he's never going to die. And the day that I die, I just transfer from him loving me down here to him loving me up there. And I don't think that God intended for death to produce less love, but for death to produce more love. And if you want help with some of your families, if you want help with some of your relationships, when death comes, you keep your testimony. When death comes, you keep on loving. When you face death in the family, you face death around your friends, get to them and figure out ways to express love. And I'll promise you, you'll pull some relationships in tight. Or, if you don't handle it right, you'll cause separation at the time of death. And I don't think that's what God wants. And remember, the whole concept this evening is, God said, I want you to love the way I love. So, I went to Romans chapter 8, and I found out how strongly God loves. And he said the result of the way I love is we're pulled together, we're not separated. We're made stronger, we're not made weaker. And so, we go to point number two. He said there in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death, then he said, nor life. Folks, I got to tell you something. I suppose life hinders love more than death does. You say, what do you mean? The anxieties of life. And God said, we're not going to let the anxieties of your life keep me from loving you. That's what God said. You know something? God loves you when you're stressed. The busyness of life cannot separate us from the love of God. When you're busy running full blast and ignoring other people's emotions, feelings, and needs, God is still loving you. What is life? Life has its challenges, its anxieties, it's got its busyness. But God said, if you get too busy for me, I won't be too busy for you. If you get too stressed for me, I won't get too stressed for you. The trials of life can separate the human race. But God said, your trials will never separate my love from you. When it's an uphill climb, just get to people that were supposed to be close and let them take on a challenge of life together. And if you're not careful, 5 minutes into it, they're at each other's throats and they're mad at one another. God said, my love will never be like that toward you. Life will not separate you from my love. The temptations of life do not separate us from the love of God. Our everyday duties do not separate us from the love of God. Look, we get busy, and our busyness, sometimes, we ignore God. We ignore Him. I wonder how many of us, since Sunday, had a good span of time where you forgot there even was a God. You were just living. You forgot about Him. But let me tell you something. He never forgot about you. You were not busy loving Him on Tuesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. You say, Brother Owens, I was underneath a car with a wrench and a hammer just in case. That's what the hammer's for. You're right. I wasn't busy loving God. I was busy hating a transmission. But while you were busy ignoring God, and maybe not rebelliously, you just were busy living life. He was not busy ignoring your life. He was loving you. When you're busy living and ignoring Him, He's busy loving you. When your eyes are not on Him, His eyes are upon you. Now, just like He said, don't let death hinder your love. It'll pull your relationships in tight. Can I say to all of us, let's not get so busy in life that we forget what life is really all about. Men, work hard. Earn the money. Pay the bills. Why? Because we love our wives and we love our children. But we're so busy, working so hard, and having such tenacity at it, we're just as mean as a coon dog toward our wife, and we're harsh with our kids because we're so busy living our life. Now, I want to explain something to you. Be careful. Don't let life hinder your love. Keep the loving of people as a priority in your life. Did you know that you can love people while you're working hard? You know that you can love people while you're accomplishing, while you're achieving, while you're conquering. You can love people. But God said, if you listen to the scripture, he said, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life." Now, how would life hinder? Well, I'm explaining it to you. Life can hinder us from loving. Don't lose track of the important thing, and the important thing is people and loving people. So don't get so caught up living your life that you forget the most important thing about life is not money, it's not your house, it's not your bank account, it's other human beings, and especially those that are closest to you. And if you want to pull the relationships in tight, love people no matter how busy your life is. Hey, every once in a while, don't succeed at making money and do succeed at taking your wife on a date. Don't succeed at conquering down at the factory or at the office. Do succeed at convincing your children that you passionately love them. Don't let life separate you in regard to the people you're supposed to love. Let love pull you closer together. Number three, he goes on, and in that passage of Scripture, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels," You know, angels are a wonderful thing. Angels are powerful beings. If an angel, though, tried to stop God from loving you, that angel could not get it done. If an angel rose up and said, "I am going to hinder God's love from getting to George Pine or to Tom Reefsummer," God would put that angel down so fast, God would say, "There's no angel that could stop me. Gabriel couldn't. Michael couldn't." I'll tell you what, though, there is an angel that works really, really hard at it. It's a fallen angel. His name is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. He tries to convince us that God doesn't love us. He's the one that comes the closest. There are times when people can be convinced that God doesn't love them. Let me tell you something. That's your misconception. That's you listening to the devil's lie. You know, and you do understand that one third of heaven's angels rebelled against God, were cast out of heaven. So one third of the angels that were created back then, they're busy trying to hinder God's love from getting to us. So there's a lot of fallen angels that will try to hinder the love of God. But God said, "I won't let that stop." Now, y'all listen to me. Don't you let the devil stop you from loving people. Don't you let bitterness climb into your life and the devil take that and cause it to keep you from loving people. You don't have to like somebody's sin, but you better love them. You better love them right. You better love them the way you're supposed to love. But the devil comes in, and boy, the devil gets us behaving vengefully and hatefully, and gets us with bitterness in our hearts, and gets us to being covetous and jealous of people. Listen, you better learn to not let the devil, which is a fallen angel, hinder your love for people. As I was looking at this, I kept thinking, God told me to love the way He loves. The verse that told me how powerful His love was, I went immediately to Romans 8, 38 and 39. As I began to look at it, I thought, wow, God really knows what He's talking about. I see some practical application here. I don't want death to stop me from loving. And you know what I've learned as a pastor? When someone has suffered a death, it's one of my greatest chances in it, maybe in their life, to pull up close to them. And I love doing it. I love doing it. Many times it's been my privilege, a couple hundred times it's been my privilege to do funeral services for people. I don't enjoy any time someone's passed away, but I'll tell you this. I certainly love loving people during a death. And you know something? Loving people during a death will make a mark and a positive mark on their heart probably for the rest of their lives. And it ought to be that way. Don't let death separate you from people. Let death, you use that. You love people past death and past the busyness of life. And then angels. And we go on. And the outline kind of takes care of itself. Number four, he said, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels. Then it said, nor principalities. Principalities. The word principalities there, it means magistrates. It's people in power. You could say political power. But listen to me. We're not to let people that are in power limit our love. Let me tell you all something. Young people, let me tell you one of the reasons why I think it is sinfully wrong for you to listen to rock and roll music that teaches you against God and has rebellion in it. I'll tell you why. You're letting someone persuade your mind, and rock and roll music's not full of the love of God. It is not full of the love of God. It's full of a lot of rebellion. And I'll tell you eventually. And parents, I just tell you, a lot of times when young people that you're trying to rear right are not doing right, you might want to check and see what kind of music they're listening to. Somebody's probably tampering with their spirit. And I watch people, young people, I watch young people that get off into the wrong kind of music. They stop loving their mom like they should. They stop loving their dad like they should. They stop loving their youth director like they should. They stop loving their preacher like they should. And I'm not trying to get love out of anybody. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Be careful. Don't let people have power over you that cause you not to love right. Again, and to everybody here, you men, you go to work and there's somebody at work that doesn't love their wife. So all they do is rag on their wife, and all they do is complain about their wife and gripe about their wife and tell you all the negatives about their wife. You better be careful letting someone like that have persuasive power over you, because it won't be long. You'll have a bad attitude about your wife. And I know your wife, she's bigger than you. She'll slug you and knock you out, buddy. I'm trying to save your life right now. Listen, I would not send my children to a school that would not teach my child to love mom, to love dad, to love their preacher, to love the authorities in their life. Watch out. God said, there's no authority out there that can stop me from loving you. Not the United States of America. Not the state of North Carolina. There's no law that the Supreme Court justices could pass that can stop me from loving you. And folks, we need to be careful that we don't let the powers that be keep us from loving each other and loving people the way they're supposed to be loved. And if you'll love people, I promise you, it's the glue that pulls relationships together. And the way God put it is, he said, and these things shall not be able to separate us from the love of God. We go on. Number five, he said this. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers. Nor powers. Now, powers, what's he talking about here? God's saying if all the powers in the world were turned on high, all of them added together could not create enough energy to stop God's love from getting to his people. The power of a thunderstorm does not stop God from loving us. The power of a hurricane, the power of an earthquake or a flood. There's no wicked power that can stop God from loving us. Now, let me tell you something. You be careful not to let anything have power over you that will keep you from loving right. You say, like what? Like liquor. Drunks don't love right. Drugs, the misuse of drugs, people that are addicted to illegal drugs or misusing their prescription drugs, they don't love right. They can't even think right. You need a, you take, and I think it's clear to everybody here what I believe about this. Husbands and wives are to stay clean and moral and pure toward one another. And once they're married, they're not to have physical relationship with anybody but their mate. If you're not married, it's called fornication when you have sex outside of wedlock, and it's called adultery if you have sex outside of wedlock as a married person. But you're not supposed to do that. You better be careful not to let your physical passions take you over, because I got news for you. Doing wrong physically, that's not love, that's lust. And what you've got to do, and God said, He said, there's no power out there that's going to come between me and you and me loving you right. Men, don't you let some lust cause you not to love your spouse right. And ladies, don't you cause lust to keep you from loving your spouse right. And young people, some of you, your moms and dads, are giving their lives to try to train you to help you stay moral and clean. Don't you let your passions become so powerful that they keep you from loving God like you ought to, keep you from loving mom like you ought to, or dad like you ought to. Hey, and girls, if some boy says to you, hey, look, if you love me, you'll let me touch you. If he loves you, he should wait. That's what he should do. He should wait. Now, but powers. God said, there's no power that's going to stop me. There's no principality that's going to stop me. He said, there's no angel that could stop me. Life's not going to stop me. Death's not going to stop me. Then it says this. He goes on. As the outline continues, he said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things present. God said, things present. No matter what happens today that occurs, God is not going to stop loving you. So no matter what happens today, God said, I'm going to keep on loving you. Nothing present today can separate us from the love of God. Our behavior now will not stop Him from loving us now. Our sins now won't stop Him from loving us now. Our vices now are not going to stop Him from loving us now. Our pride now is not going to stop Him. Our lies are not going to stop Him. Our hatred is not going to stop Him. Our evil words, our laziness, our unfaithfulness, it's not going to stop Him from loving us. Now, folks, let me tell you all something. You need to love people now. Right now. You say, but they're backslidden. I understand. I didn't ask you to love their backsliddenness. You're to love them. Love them now. I've had people say this to me. Brother Owens, I'll love my husband like he deserves when he gets right with God. He may never get right with God. You're to love him right now. You're to love because of what you are. Not because of what he is. And let me prove that to you. You're to love the way God loves. God loves you with a never-ending, never-dying love. And it's not because you deserve it. Because you deserve hell. You're dirty, filthy, bad, evil. We're all of that. And God said, I don't love you because of what you are. God said, I love you because of what I am. And you know what? It was the love of God that brought me to repentance. It was the love of God that brought me back into purity. It was not God rejecting me until I got myself cleaned up, straightened out, and on track. Now, I'm not saying you ought to run with them. I'm not saying you ought to be best friends at certain times. But I am telling you, you better love people. God loves people now. Now. And he said, things present. Nothing right now is going to stop me from loving you. Then he goes on. And he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor things to come. There is no future event that has the strength, the influence, or the ability to separate us from the love of God. The love of God is for now, and it's for the future as well. No matter what comes, God said, no matter what comes, you know, God loves you right now. I've got good news for you. He's going to love you next week. He's going to love you the week after that. He's already promised it. Nothing will happen during the tribulation period that will stop God from loving you. Nothing will happen during the millennium, which is all futuristic, that will stop God from loving you. Can I tell you all something? You want to have some good, strong relationships? You love the people that are to be loved now. And then you assure them you always will love them. You assure them you always will love them. I'm not going to stop loving you. I tell the young people that they're members of this church, they've heard me say this. I say to them, young people, you stay moral. You stay clean. You stay pure. You stay virgin. Don't you go out and get yourself pregnant out of wedlock. And then I tell them this, and you've heard me say this, if you ever make a mistake, you come let your preacher help you. Say, Pastor, I've already made a mistake. Okay, you be pure from here on out. But I want it to be made very clear. I'm going to love you whether you're right and wrong. I'm going to love you today, and I plan to love you tomorrow. You say, wonder if I'm in a mess tomorrow. I plan to love you tomorrow during the mess. You know, people that get the right quality of love are more apt to stay right. I really do believe that. But he said things present, and he said things to come. God lets people know His love is forever. God lets people know. And folks, I think it's important. Parents, let me tell you something. If I were you, while you're rearing your children, I think they need to know you love them today. And you're going to love them forever. They're never going to be too old to receive mom and dad's love. You need that kind of connection with them. So we go on. The outline takes care of itself. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Then it says, nor height can separate us from the love of God. Nothing is high enough to outextend the love that God has for us. Nothing on the moon could separate you from the love of God. Nothing on Jupiter could hinder the love of God. Nothing. Not the sun. Nothing. Nothing. The farthest reaching star could not separate you from God. Listen, God is emphasizing and telling us, love people my way. You want good relationships? Love people my way. Love them today. Love them tomorrow. Don't let any power stop you from loving the people you're supposed to love. He goes on and he says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth. Nothing is deeper than the love of God can be deep. We sing the song, I do our bus meeting on Saturday morning with the bus workers. I think our bus captains probably sing this song on the bus. We talk about Jesus and we sing, deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And they usually go, boom, 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 boom. That's the spiritual part of it. Deep and wide, deep. And wide? You say, what's deep and wide? Well, I can tell you, it could be that fountain that flows with blood, but I'll guarantee you, the love of God is deep and wide. And it ought to be deeper than God's love is deeper than anything. He said, I'm going to love you deeper than sin goes. Listen, some of you need to learn to love deeper than the hurt. Deeper than the hurt. There are people that should be loved by you, but they hurt you. But you don't love deeper than the hurt. So they're not getting the love that they need. So rather than pulling them close to you, there's a separation that's taking place. God said, I love deeper than anything, deeper than hurt, deeper than a betrayal, deeper than the words that they said. I love deep. There's nothing in the deepest cave on this globe that could separate us from the love of God. Love people. Love them deeply. Matter of fact, I might put this, don't put a limit on it. Don't put a limit on it. I want to go to my grave and I want to have a good attitude. When people hate me, I'm going to do everything I can to go to my grave loving the people that hate me. You say, why? You can decide what you think that the ultimate level of Christianity is. I happen to believe it's still love. I think it is love. I think we're to love people. We're to love each other. I think God is love, and that's how we're to behave. And I think it pulls people closer. I think I call the sermon love, the ingredient or the quality that is the glue in relationships. This is what God says. Now, what else did he say? He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, You say, why is that in there? God's basically saying, you name it. You name it. That's an all-inclusive clause at the bottom of the warranty. He's saying, okay, I talked about height and depth and hot and cold and up and down. And I named a bunch of things trying to convince you. And he said, let me just throw this in here. Nothing is going to stop me from loving you. You fill in the blank. It's not going to stop me from loving you. The creature has not been created, nor ever will be created, that can stop God from loving you. No other creature, he said. Nobody could invent anything that could separate you from the love of God. So, they've got some pretty amazing things going on out there. My wife and I bought our grandson for Christmas this robot that's a monkey. I forget his name. He's a chimp. And I don't mean like a rock'em sock'em plastic robot. I'm talking about this robot. It follows your voice. You tell it what to do. It does it. It sounds like if I get one of those for my wife, it would be okay. Where whatever I say, she's voice activated. But I realize there's some pretty powerful computers out there. There's some pretty powerful things out there. A lot of things going on out there in our world. Listen, God said, no matter what's going on anywhere, nothing, nothing, nothing is going to stop me from loving you. There's no animal. There's no human. There's no incident. There's no coincidence. There's no heavenly creature, earthly creature, demonic creature. Nothing is going to stop me from loving you. Let me explain to you. Do you understand, Christian, how tight your relationship is with God? You got saved, and he said, you are saved for how long? Forever. That's pretty tight. He said, once you get in the family, you're in. You're in. He's going to keep on loving you. Does that mean that you always behave? No. Does that mean you're the object of his love is always right? No. Oh, but God said, once I save you, I'm doing it all the way. And I'll love you all the way to heaven. There is no creature now, nor any creature to come, that will ever separate us from the love of God. Folks, when there are differences in a marriage or differences between children and teenagers, let me tell you something that will keep you tight during difficult times. Make sure you know you love each other. Just make sure you know you love each other. In the church, two people disagree about something. Somebody took your parking spot. And you're upset about it. You'll resolve issues in the church, and there doesn't have to be a bunch of hurt feelings if you just will love each other. Love is a glue that holds relationships together. And relationships fall apart when there's a lack of love. They fall apart. Churches fall apart when there's a lack of love. You know, it's amazing how much when you love someone, how much you can put up with. Think about it. When you deeply and passionately love someone, they can wreck your car and you're okay. They can break your toy and you're okay. But because there's a lack of love, there's separation in the relationship. Two verses, and we're done. I started by reading this to you. The Bible says in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Folks, so you know, that's not a suggestion. God commands you to love. Not your way. Your way is anemic. You're to love people God's way. So, tell me something about God's love. I will. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is how powerful our love is to be. You say, well, nobody can be like that. No, they can't. But everybody is supposed to be trying. And if you fail, you try again. If you fail, you try again. The love of God, that's still the theme of Christianity. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You're here tonight and you're not saved. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But let me say this. I think sometimes we love, but we do it our way. But we're supposed to love God's way. You say, but I have convictions and I have moralities. Oh, you're supposed to. I'm not asking you to do away with any of that. I want you to believe strongly. I want you to be separated. I want you to love as deeply as God tells us to love. One of the qualities of God is holiness. But wait a minute. He's also love. The Bible says he's love. I think we need to love more. Let's not get so busy in life that we don't love right. Let's not let anybody above us. Let's not anything influence us to take the love of God out of our lives. Let's pull our relationships together. Let's not separate them. Again, I say it. Say, I'll love him. I'll love her when they get right. It's not how God loves you. God loves you whether you're right or wrong. And love is attraction. It's attracting. You're more apt to pull it together if you love right now. Who here would say, preacher, God's challenged my life and challenged my heart tonight and what I've heard. And I know God's spoken to my heart about this thing of love in my life. And you'll raise your hand and let God see it. We're going to have an altar call. In a second, the pianist will start to play and then we'll stand. If you need the altar for a second, I want you to come. As she begins to play now, why don't you stand to your feet? If you need to come and pray for a second, you ought to. You young people, you ought to love your brother and love your sister. You ought to love mom and love dad. Husbands and wives, you ought to love each other. Say, well, they broke something of mine. Well, God loves you and you break a lot of his things. Say, they disappointed me. You disappoint God all the time. He still loves you. Corinthians chapter 13, it's called the love chapter. The word charity in that chapter is equivalent to our word love. You know what it says? It says, charity never faileth. Wow, that's powerful. You know what I would like? I would like for my relationships not to fail. God's love relationship never fails. Never fails. I just described to you the potential and the power of God's love. We're to love like him means we're to love like that. And charity never faileth. Kind of an all-encompassing lesson. This helps in all relationships. All relationships. We're to love saved people. We're to learn to love the lost. Not to be like them. Not to agree with them. We're to love them. We're to love the souls of men. This is the last time through the song. Ushers, if you'll prepare with extra prayer bulletins, we'll see who might need one. Remain standing for a second. Let me tell you something. I want to help some of you at work. You love your boss. Or some of you don't. Matter of fact, you despise your boss. I decided a long time ago I was going to love the bosses that I work for. I didn't decide I'd agree with everything they did. I didn't decide that I would become like them. But you can ask any boss I've ever worked for if I love them. And they will tell you, oh, no, I know that man loved me. You say, oh, love my boss. Don't you get caught up in the world and how the world minimizes the Christian life. You say, that's weird. No, that's spiritual. One of the reasons we have this building is because I love my boss. And my boss knew I loved him. And when we needed some money to buy this building, he just cranked out his paycheck or his checkbook and said, let me write you a check. That came because he knew somebody loved him. Some of you, someday you'll win your boss the Lord if you love him. Some of you could not win your boss the Lord. You hate them. You despise them. They're a challenge to you. We're love everybody. I know that sounds liberal to fundamental Baptists. We're love everybody. We're not to love sin, but we're love everybody.